Charlie Kirk was murdered recently. It's been rightfully described as an example of Christian martyrdom. He also died in what could be called a political assassination. He died defending free speech and Christian values on a college campus. He often proclaimed the gospel or the social and political implications of the gospel in very inhospitable places. He went to speak the truth in love and do it with a smile. Charlie Kirk was a great example of what could be called muscular Christianity. Bill Federer is a best-selling author and speaker, and he's written a new book along with his son Michael called Courageous Christianity, How a 19th Century Revival Sparked the Muscular Christianity Movement, YMCA Athletics, and a Youth-Led Race to Save the World. Now, we've talked with Bill before, getting an overview on this book, but now he joins us to discuss this whole idea of courageous Christianity, and we can see it in the example of the recently killed Charlie Kirk. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Bill, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. And my son, Michael, was friends with Charlie and handed him a copy of the book just about a month ago. And last week, we were with Charlie Kirk in South Korea speaking at a Build Up Korea event. And we were the thousands and thousands of young people in Korea. The government's turned leaning pro-communist, pro-trans over there in South Korea. They're raiding pastors' houses and arresting pastors in South Korea. And so these young Christians are, they've filled the streets holding up signs, "We love Charlie Kirk," this past week after the assassination. And I'll always believe there was some deep state behind it. And, I was a little personal. In 2014, I spoke in Robinson, Illinois, middle of the state, little city, at their civic center, about 500 people. And before I got up to speak, they had this young teenager talking. And I tried to concentrate on my notes, but I couldn't. This guy was so captivating, talking about free market and constitution and our values and faith. And it was Charlie Kirk. And that was February 22nd, 2014. He was 19 years old. A friend, Bill Montgomery, said, "Hey, I'm a businessman. I'll pay for you to take a year off before you go to college and go around and give talks." And this was one of those talks. And in Seoul, Korea, this past week, I was the warm-up speaker for Charlie Kirk. We had quite a lineup of, you know, Ryan Helfenbein from Liberty University was there, and Steve Bannon, Jack Posobiec, and lots of speakers, Rob McCoy. But they put me on right before Charlie. And I thought, wow, 11 years, and to start a 19-year-old, and here he's made an international impact. And that should be an encouragement to every teenager, that somebody could produce an AI video of Charlie going up the stairs to heaven and meeting Jesus and turning and passing a baton to a crowd of young people holding up their hand. This one young person did a video, and it said, you know, unless a seed go into the ground and die, it remains alone. But when it dies, it bears forth fruit. And obviously that's Jesus. He died, and we're all Christians. But he said, in a sense, it's also Charlie Kirk, that he's not, it's just one person, but now we're all Charlie Kirks. And that's the message, I think. And so this book, Courageous Christianity, it tracks how, you know, back in the early 1800s, there was a revival called the Second Great Awakening Revival. There was a young attorney. He was 29 years old, Charles Finney. And he says, "I'm going to give my life to God." And he's like, you know, kneels down in his law office and prays, and he feels these waves of liquid love. And the door opens, and he prayed all night, and it's a church deacon suing another church deacon. And Charles Finney said, "I'm sorry, I have a retainer from our Lord Jesus, and I cannot plead your case anymore." And the church deacon was stunned and stood in the middle of the street until then he dropped his case. But Charles Finney presented the gospel like a lawyer before a jury, presenting evidence and then asking for a decision, right? A verdict. And so he invented the altar call. He said, "You serve the devil openly, I'm going to call for you to stand up right where you're at and serve the Lord openly." And 100,000 people got saved in 2 years. And then you had George Williams over in England, and he's 22 years old. And England has the Industrial Revolution, streets filled full of beggars and poor and prostitutes. And he says, "We need a place where guys can go and pray and read the Bible and exercise." And he created the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association. He was 22 years old. Young people, and then it went global. right? And so their YMCA chapter started everywhere. And one of the YMCA volunteers in Chicago was D.L. Moody. He was a city missionary, didn't get paid, but he found an abandoned saloon, opened it up to teach inner city kids. And it grew to 1,500. And Lincoln stopped off and attended the Sunday school class on his way to being president in D.C. And D.L. Moody says, Mr. President, is there anything you want to say? And he goes, I started off as poor as any of you children in this room. And if you do what that man tells you someday, you might be president. And then Billy Sunday is a baseball player in Chicago. And he's a volunteer at the YMCA. And then he comes out as an evangelist. And you think of all the head of the YMCA in Geneva, Switzerland, Henry Dunant. He was a young man, and he started the International Red Cross. And then you see all these ripple effects of people, and it all goes back to this young 29-year-old, Charles Finney. And then the 22-year-old, George Williams. God is looking for young people that'll not waste their lives on chasing temporal pleasures. It's like, look, we're all going to die someday. Charlie's died. Charlie is not here. He's in heaven. We're all going to, we don't know if we're going to be in a car accident. We need to make every moment count and stop chasing, you know, pornography and video games, anything that's just a distraction, and realize, do eternal things, things that have an eternal impact on people's lives, like Charles Finney, like George Williams, and like Charlie Kirk.
Wow. By the way, you mentioned that example about Dwight Moody and Abraham Lincoln hearing him. I don't know if you realize, well, I'm sure you realize it because you're the best. You're Bill Federer. But Dwight Eisenhower was named by his godly parents after Dwight L. Moody, or so it is reported. So let me ask you a question. You were doing other things with Charlie Kirk as well, or he was drawing on your research? Because I know he mentioned you one time when I was talking with him. I mean, not that I talked with him many times. I had three small interactions with him through the years, but I remember your name coming up.
Yeah, I knew him when I ran for Congress, year 2000, became friends. And for some reason, he would invite me on a group to go pheasant hunting once a year. And everybody from, you know, Tucker Carlson, Gary Sinise, you know, Lieutenant Dan, who started a veterans organization,
Congressman
Rick Santorum, Senator John Thune, you know, even Kristi Noem showed up. Best part was sitting around this big fireplace and giving, you know, talking about world issues and what can be done. And one time he invited Charlie. And Charlie said, yeah, I chased Foster down up two flights of stairs and gave him my 2-minute elevator pitch on engaging youth people. And Foster said, I like it. Call my office. I'll give you a check. And that was the seed money for TPUSA to go exponential growth. But Charlie and I became friends. We text back and forth hundreds of times. He would text me scriptures. I'd text him back scriptures. He'd say, hey, I did this TikTok debate, you know, and give me something on John Adams and his Christian faith. And of course, Jerry, you're an expert on all this as well. You know, the Treaty of Tripoli. And he'd say, you know, tell me about socialism. So I dedicated my book to socialism to Charlie Kirk, and he had me on his show talking about it. He had me speak at his dream, Freedom Night at Dream City Church in Phoenix, about 5,000 people there, and we're on the platform together. And then when Foster died, Tucker Carlson, you know, spoke at the memorial, and there's, you know, hundreds of people. And then Charlie and I had to drive back to Jackson Hole and we drove together for 2 hours. And he asked me every question, and he stumped me on one history question. And he goes, I stumped Bill Federer on a history question. And he always thought that was humorous. And so we became friends when Rob McCoy, who is his pastor, I spoke across the country with him for 10 years for the American Renewal Project, David Lane. And then Rob McCoy said, Bill, we're thinking about starting a Turning Point Faith. Come on, move to Phoenix. It'll be you, me, and Charlie, and we'll do it. And my wife said, we just moved to Florida. She didn't want to move. And I thought, you know, afterwards, you know, what would it have been like had I moved out there? But the next year, Rob said, hey, come out, have dinner with Charlie. We're starting Turning Point Education, turningpointedu.com. And so we agreed to do it. We could do it remotely. And I produce videos every week. You can go to turningpointed.com and look up resources, and anybody can download the videos. I've done a couple hundred of them. Charlie would be an encouragement to me. And so we're over in Seoul, Korea, and I'm the warm up speaker for him. And he met with a pastor, Sun Hyung Bo, pastor of Seguro Church in Busan. He organized 1 million people to protest the trans bill that they passed in Seoul, Korea. They have a new president that's pro-communist. And anyway, they raid the pastor's house. They seize his phone. They file 22 lawfare charges against him. He's meeting with Charlie, and Charlie said, if they arrest you, I'm going to personally call President Trump and let everybody in America know about how the government of South Korea is weaponized against Christians. And Charlie said, I got one last student event in Utah, and then I'm going to put all my effort into letting people know about Pastor Sun Hyung Bo and what's going on. And obviously that's not happening, so I'm at least mentioning that so people can pray for South Korea. But the day before Charlie was shot, he texted me a scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:9. There's an effectual door for ministry open for me, but there are many adversaries. And there are adversaries, and he was shot. And I'm so proud of his wife, Erica, for keeping Turning Point going. Somebody created an AI video. It brought me to tears. I didn't sleep or eat for a day after I heard about the shooting. To have a text on my phone that I got from him less than 24 hours earlier. And this AI was Charlie walking up the white steps into heaven and meeting Jesus and turning and passing a baton to hundreds of these young people that are holding up their hands. And that's the idea, is that we're all Charlie Kirks now, and that if God can use a 19-year-old, he can use any 19, he can use any teenager. That remember the Lord in the days of thy youth. Make your youth count for the Lord. And I've heard of, you know, 1 million people in London and youth in Cambodia and youth all around the world. That this is now the day and the hour for the youth to stand up and grasp it, and for everyone to be used by the Lord in a powerful way.
Now, Charlie was accused of being a fascist. In fact, one of the bullets apparently said something like this: "Catch this, fascist." But you knew Charlie personally, and that's just a bogus charge. And by the way, you know, Mussolini, the founder of the fascist movement, was a Marxist. So other than that.
Yeah. So it's called projection, where they blame you for what they're doing. So they're the ones that are wanting to have a totalitarian state and outlaw religion and outlaw freedom of speech and outlaw. And so Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of lusting after her when she was lusting after him. I read a 1960 military review magazine, and it talked about the Soviets. And he says, they do projection, where they blame us for what they're doing. And he says, every psychologist knows that children say, I didn't start the fight, you did. He hit me first. So they blame you for what they're doing. And they're the ones that want to set up a totalitarian, intolerant state, take away freedoms, and have the government control everybody's lives. And they're blaming people on the right, like Charlie and all the rest, of being what they are.
Okay, so we have about a minute to wrap up, or less than that. Charlie Kirk and Courageous Christianity. Bill Federer, your thoughts.
Yeah, the history of Christianity is young people. You look at the apostles. Most of them were, you know, John was like a teenager. And
now, God uses old people, too. I just want to say that as a 69-year-old, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm turning 68, so you got a year on me. But you look at the signers of the Declaration. A large percentage of them were in their 20s and 30s. I think Jefferson was 33 years old when he signed the Declaration of Independence. So this is a time. So the book, Courageous Christianity, it traces this Second Great Awakening and how it sparked the YMCA athletics and this youth revival movement to evangelize the world. The YMCA had a motto under their head, John Mott, M-O-T-T, and it's evangelize the world in this generation.
All right, Bill Federer, AmericanMinute.com. Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.